Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home, where we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, everybody gets involved in politics, and you're all affected by the rulers and leaders. However, God looks at things differently than the way people look at things. Too many people look at trying to get a benefit from the government without working. And that generally leads to the decline and demise of governments. It's happened down through history to where sooner or later people know if they vote for someone so they can get something back, then pretty soon those in authority are going to be giving out more and more and more money. And then it's going to end up more and more people are receiving and fewer are left to tax. So that creates a problem. Well, God looks at things, how righteous is the ruler, which means this, how much do they adhere to the laws and commandments and principles of God? Not that they're called to salvation necessarily. That's another whole story. But when it comes to the people of the land, like you and me, we live here. We're subject to the laws, we're subject to the taxes, we're subject to the things that are here because God has put these civil governments in control. And that has happened because that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. They didn't want to have God rule over them. And then after the flood, then God gave the authority of men ruling over men, and they had the authority of the administration of death to get rid of wicked people. And so when there is a ruler who is righteous and has wisdom, it is good for the people. So we have the Proverbs here, which tells us about it as we were covering last time. The Proverbs tells us a lot about rulership. So let's come to Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Here's quite an interesting proverb. And it works every time. Verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice because they do what is right. There is no lying. There is no cheating. There is no scamming. There are no bribes. There are no payoffs. There are no nodding of the head and winking of the eye for the professional criminals and drug dealers. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Look at any city where it is wickedness. The people mourn. Verse 4, the king establishes the land by justice. Now, justice means doing what is right, having proper judgment, making good decisions, being just with those who are the evildoers, and adheres to the things concerning the laws of God. Who are those that are surrounding the ruler or the king or the leader or the mayor or the governor or whatever office you want to call? Verse 12, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Have we seen an administration like that recently here in the United States? How have the people been? Oppressed? Deprived? Verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase. Has that not happened in our land? All of these evil politicians, all of these evil church leaders, pedophilia, adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, covetousness? Yes, indeed. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible of a righteous king, what he did, how the people followed, how they rejoiced, how everything worked well. And then let's see what happens when they had a wicked king. And this is why we have these examples in the Bible. So when someone comes along and says, oh, well, you don't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament because that was for those people back there. Well, the truth is, all the laws and commandments are for all people, all time, everywhere, and it applies to us today. And when we have the histories like we have here in the book of 2 Chronicles, then we find examples of how rulers and kings should be and what they should do. And the Bible records this for us. And all of these things are examples so that we don't do what they did that is wrong, and that we do what they did that is right. So let's read it here. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign being 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. It's always interesting that the mother's name is mentioned, because mothers need to understand, and I'm sure they are well aware of the fact, that mothers are the ones who are responsible for giving children their basic behavior, which will fit them the rest of their lives. Now notice what it says of King Hezekiah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now to do right means what? You seek God, you love God, you keep his commandments, you judge equitably, you help bring the people into peace and to harmony and to right worship of God. Now, we find something here that is important. Here is a reformation. Now, there are particular times in history that after evil rulers, a good one will come along and help straighten things out. Now, that's what happened when Queen Elizabeth I came to the throne in England. And during her reign in England, coupled with the blessings of God, England rose from the poorest nation in Europe to the richest. So when Hezekiah started, he was in a similar situation. He was the son of Ahaz, who was a wicked king. But Hezekiah turned out righteous. Now, verse 3, here's what he did. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord to repair them. The people had become so wicked that they closed down the temple of God. Imagine that, how evil that was. See? And what happened? The people were given to wickedness. They were given to idolatry. They worshiped Balaam, the sun god, which, by the way, Sunday is the day of the sun god, and Ashtaroth, the female goddess, etc. They had all of these things in the temple of God. So what he did, he brought in the priests and Levites, and he said to them, hear me now, verse 5, Levites, now sanctify yourself and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry the filthiness out of the place. For verse 6, he understood what was right and what was wrong. Now, this is very similar to what we need in all nations today, especially here in America. Here was the confession that he said. Verse 6, our fathers have sinned and have done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the dwelling place of the Lord and have turned their backs. They have shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps and not burned incense, offered burnt offerings in the sanctuary of the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he's delivered them to trouble and to astonishment and to hissing as you see with your eyes. Wow. What an indictment that was. So now, he said, clean out the temple, get that set up. The Levites are to teach the people. The people are to tithe and bring the tithes into the Levites, so they will have teaching Levites, so that the people will know right from wrong, good from evil. And so they did that. They did all of the things necessary for restoring the temple. Very important point to remember. Before there can be a major reformation in anything, there has to be a return to God. There has to be repentance. So then they had that all set up. Everything was done. Then they had where the king came and offered burnt offerings, the congregation worship. They saw that everything was fine. However, they missed the time for keeping the Passover, the 14th day of the first month, in the first month, because they didn't get the temple cleansed until the 16th. So then, what happened? There's a provision in the Bible where that if you miss the Passover in the first month, you can keep it in the second month. So what Hezekiah and the priest and the leaders did, they sent out a letter, sent it to all of those in Israel and Judah, and to come to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So also, in the letter that he sent out to go to the various tribes, here's part of what he wrote to them. He said, "Do not be like your fathers and like your brethren who sinned against the Lord God of your fathers, and he therefore gave them up to desolation as you see. Do not be stiff-necked like your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God so that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." Now, that's exactly what we need done here in America. We need those people who are in positions of power and authority to enact righteous judgments, righteous laws, fairness in taxation, etc. Justice in the court systems, getting rid of all of the sins and rottenness that is there in Washington, D.C., that is just like in a cocoon of evil. And then they need to tell the people, we need to reform. We need to come back to God. We need to quit our sins. We need to tell the people in our cities, you need to be instructed. You need to stop gangs. You need to stop murders. You need to stop abortion. You need to stop lying and cheating and stealing and identity theft. And you need to return to God, and God's blessing would come. Well, that would be the whole theme of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting rid of sin and returning to God. Now, notice what else he says here. Verse 9, and this would happen in America too. If the church leaders would all get together and say, listen, for centuries we have not been telling you the truth. For centuries we have been keeping Sunday when we all know better, and we all know that the seventh day Sabbath is the day of the Lord. And our theologians and our professors and our colleges have all taught you the wrong thing. And the holidays that we have kept, listen, those are only paganized commercial holidays for the merchants of the earth. We need to return to God and keep his days, keep his ways. Well, that's what Hezekiah was writing to the people in his day. If you turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before those who led them captive, so that they shall come again to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and he will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. And so then the people responded. They all came to Jerusalem, and they kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were so excited in returning to God that they said, okay, now let's have another 7 days because we have been so wicked. And God blessed them in that effort, and God was pleased with what they did. And so here's what happened. Verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and who lived in Judah rejoiced. And there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there was nothing like this in Jerusalem. Now, can you imagine what a reformation of this kind would do for whatever country you live in? But especially in the countries that claim to follow the Bible and claim to be Christian, just think what it would be like if that would happen. A return to God, God wants, he doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He says to the wicked, turn, return, and I will forgive you. Return, and I will restore you. Well, here's what happened, verse 27. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came into his holy dwelling place, even into heaven, came up to God. What a wondrous thing that was. You know, this could happen here. It's going to have to start with the politicians. Quit your lying, quit your cheating, quit your bribing, quit your stealing. Gather together and cancel all the horrible, unrighteous laws. Abolish them. Wipe them off the books. Teach people the right things. Teach people what they need to do. Change the curriculum into schools. Teach the things of God. Well, because Hezekiah was righteous, he delivered Jerusalem and Judah from the hands of the Assyrians and saved them from their armies. Now, God can do the same thing for us. If we'd all return to God, he would cause our enemies to be at peace with us. Now, Hezekiah reigned for 29 years. Now, when he died, his son, Manasseh, took over the throne. Now, here is quite an interesting thing that you see repeated over again in the Bible. There is a righteous king, and then the son takes over, and he turns to wickedness. Now, that happened with David. Solomon started out. He had a tremendous start. God blessed him in everything. He built the temple. God even appeared to him vision twice, but in his old age, his heart turned away from God. And he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, worshiped other gods. So then God had to punish the people for that. And he took away the kingdom from Solomon's son. He waited until Solomon had died. And then he gave the 10 northern tribes into the hands of Jeroboam, told Jeroboam, if you'll keep my commandments and teach the people this, then I will bless you and give you a dynasty like I gave to David. But he didn't do it. He turned the people further into paganism. And so all the northern 10 tribes that were sent off into captivity in 721 to 718 BC were given over to paganism. Well, down in the southern kingdom, after Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh reigned in his stead. Now, let's read about this because this is very instructive. Because you can have a righteous ruler here and then succeeded by a wicked one, and the wicked one does all that he can to undo the righteousness that was enacted by the righteous ruler. And that's exactly what his son Manasseh did. You would think that Manasseh, seeing the blessings that God gave to Hezekiah, would be obedient, would love God, would do the things that were right. He had the proper example. But let's read it. 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Went right back into full-time paganism. And he probably had those advisors come to him who really weren't pure-hearted with Hezekiah and said, O king, you know the people really enjoy these things, so you know, why don't we relax a little bit all these rigid things that your father has enacted? And besides, you'll enjoy these things too. And besides, this is being discriminative against other religions and against other people. So we need to have freedom of religion. We need to have freedom of these things to do. So let's see what happened. Verse 3. He built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. Those are the high places to worship Balaam. And he reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, so you could have these groves and go in and have the secret sex orgies within the groves as you worship the goddess of fertility. And worshiped all the host of heaven and served them, given over to astrology. Do we have that today? Yes, we do. In fact, there are over 3 million witches in the United States. He built altars in the house of the Lord, right where God said he would put his name forever. He built altars, verse 5, for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He observed times and used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards, and did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him. And it says in a parallel account there in 2 Kings that he shed much innocent blood in Jerusalem. Caused people to become wicked. There were more murders. There were abortions. There were child sacrifices. There were worshiping of other gods. And they even set up booths for homosexuals so that they could practice their evil homosexual acts, which they considered religious devotion to their abominable gods. Right in the temple area of the house of God. Well, because of those sins, they were sent off into captivity. Let's see what else he did. He set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God said to David and Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Here's what can happen when you have evil rulers. But Manasseh led astray Judah and the people of Jerusalem and caused them to do worse than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not listen. So then God sent an army. God sent an invasion force, and the Assyrians came in and captured Manasseh, sent him off into prison in Babylon, and there, lo and behold, guess what? After all that time, Manasseh repented. So you see, when I say that God honors repentance, he does. Now let's read it here. Verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he sought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed to him and was entreated of him, heard his prayer, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. He was made a vassal king by the king of Assyria. Then it says that Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. So he corrected all of these things, destroyed the idols that he had made, took them out of the area of the house of God. He repaired the altar of the Lord, and he offered peace offerings and sacrifices, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Wow! What a story that is! But you see, why then? Politics is a very difficult thing. If you vote, you have to make the choice. Is this a wise or foolish person? Is he righteous or sinful? Is he honest or dishonest? All of those things become very important. So you see the problems when there are not righteous rulers. Now, please go and view all the segments that we have on the kingdom of God. Because, you see, the church is being trained to be the rulers, the kings and priests in the kingdom of God, which Christ is going to bring with him when he returns. And this is why we are to learn from the Bible how to have righteous judgment, how to follow and love God, so that when Christ returns and we're raised from the dead or changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye and join the heavenly host to come back to this earth and rule and bring peace to this earth for 1,000 years. See, that's the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why God is not a politician. And that's why if anybody asked the question, who would Jesus vote for? No one, because he's going to be king. So if you vote, you better make sure that you have a good conscience before God in voting for the people that you vote for. So once again, we see that God's word applies to everything. And that's why church at home. So you can learn all of these things in your own home. Worship and pray to God. Establish a relationship with him. Understand his word. Grow in grace and knowledge. And learn to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.